With all we go through as African Americans in the United States, are y'all guys paired up? Have you hit the end of your rope? You know, do you want to go home? Meaning, do you want to return to the continent? Do you want to return to Africa? Stay tuned. Hello, and thanks for joining the Walt Weekly Friday Live. All right, and we'd like to thank all of you guys for your support. My name is Walter Latham. I'm your host, and I'm joined by Michelle Sweeney McCombs, your co-host. And today's topic has to do with returning back to Africa. Okay, going back to the continent. All right, so over the last couple of years, and this is pre-pandemic, I've heard of African Americans returning to the continent. And the underlying reasons given was to escape the racism and live in a country that they could feel safe and happy in. All right, they could pursue, you know, peace and make money without someone calling them the N-word. But anyway, one of the key drivers would be that African American would be part of the majority. Now, can you imagine not being called the N-word? There are no Karens, no fear of being pulled over, DWB, driving while black, or going out when everybody looks like you. Can you just imagine that?
Can't imagine that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the Ghanaian government, a couple of years ago, implemented what they call Year of the Return. All right, and this was an offer to African Americans to come over and they could become citizens. All right, they set aside land, housing, and they wanted to bring people over with skills and talent and people that wanted to invest. So based on this perceived utopia, I would be tempted myself. Okay. And yes, a lot of people were, like 5,000 people did go so far and counting. All right. But I think the COVID pandemic interrupted that flow. But some people say, yeah, I'm done. They're all going right. I'm going to go. So based on this perceived utopia, you know, we should be jumping on a plane, boat, or whatever we can find to get over there.
Right.
And as I said, thousands of people have taken this offer. But have we thought about what we would be doing? You know, the honest truth to me is they're giving up what our ancestors toiled and died for. Mm. You know, I mean, we fought in every war this country's ever had. All right. We built this country, you know, through agriculture, through a system that they had in place for 400 years. And 40 acres and a mule, which is still due to us, we didn't get that yet, but I guess somewhere down the road we will get it.
Hopefully in
maybe
our lifetime.
Maybe in the next life. What do you say?
Hopefully in our lifetime.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe in the next lifetime. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we have given our lives. All right? And I don't think that's something that we should entertain. All right? Because we will be giving up our birthright. You know, I could see if we were going back to a country in Africa, take for instance Ghana, and we could go to the village that we have ancestors at. We could trace our, you know, our roots back to a certain village or group of people. Oh, that's my great Uncle John.
Right.
Right? Where in Italians, they could go back to the village that they were born in and probably named after.
Mm.
Okay? Yeah. That was taken away from us.
Wow.
All right? Yep. But there are opportunities. All right? There are pros and cons. As more people come on, and I'm looking for more people to come on our panel, and they should be in shortly, but they're going to have their viewpoints. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep it moving because I spent the majority of the 80s in West Africa. Sierra Leone, Liberia, Guinea. And I was a trader. You know, I shipped in foodstuffs in exchange for gold. So I would ship in, let's say, a container of tomato paste. All right. I would sell the tomato paste. I had a buyer. I would take the local currency and I would go up into the bush. You know, you always go to the source. And I would sit in the bush, stay in the bush for 3-4 months until they could accumulate enough gold that I could repatriate back to this country. No. All right. So I am not saying that there are no opportunities in Africa. I mean, that Africa has the most untapped resources. The continent of Africa has the most untapped resources in the world. I mean, I'm talking about diamonds, gold, bauxite, you name it, they have it.
Right.
It's there. So there are opportunities for us to go there, just like the Chinese are going there. We can go there independently, but we have to decide on what we want to exploit. I don't think it should be our, and I'm not telling the people what to do, but what I'm saying is we should do like the Indians do. People from India, they come to this country, they make their money and technology or whatever, and then they go back home. Or they keep a house here and they keep a house home. And I think we should do that, you know, like snowbirds. All right, but make our money there. There are opportunities in Africa. You don't have to give up your American citizenship, all right, and go there to stay. I mean, we need you here. We need more numbers.
Right. A lot of people have dual citizenship.
Yeah, you can have dual citizenship, but you don't give up your American passport. You know, there was a time when the American passport was one of the most valuable documents in the world. Just like the U.S. dollar. But we know who caused the problem with that now. You American, nobody gives a damn on a global stage. Right. When at one time you were revered and you were envied because you were American. Okay, but you know who changed that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is that there are pros and cons to making a move to Africa.
Definitely.
Okay. All right. So the points I want to make, and should we? And I think I've covered my reasons why we should do like whatever the opportunity is. And another thing too, before I forget, we have people that go to Europe, Rome, Paris, why can't they also, and they spend money there, why can't they also go to a country in Africa? Mm-hmm. They got beautiful places there, very reasonable. But I think that we have the condition that when we think of Africa, we think of the Tarzan movies or we think of National Geographic, which only showed the people that live in the bush.
Mm.
All right. I mean, you have a middle class in Africa that live well. They have homes, they have cars, they have jobs. They do not show that side of Africa. I haven't spent a number of years back and forth over there and staying there for months on end. I've seen the middle class. I've seen how people live. All right. But I have also seen what they show on National Geographic. And to see that, you have to go all the way up. Like it's just like being down in North Carolina and going way into the woods, into, you know, one of those farm places somewhere, you know, remote.
Right.
And that's what they show on National Geographic. Mm-hmm. All right. I know better. All right. But they don't show it. They perpetuate a myth about, you know, the people, the natives of Africa, of those countries. They perpetuated a myth. All right? Right. There are two types of, I mean, there are multiple types of people, just like here. You have the haves and you have the have-nots. They don't portray America as Appalachia, the hillbillies. And that's all you, when you think of the U.S., United States, you think of the hillbillies. That myth is not out there. And they've done the same thing with Africa more than 100 years. That's the way Africa is portrayed.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, my experience, you know, in Western Africa, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Guinea, Nigeria, is that you have, just like you have here, you have the haves and you have the have-nots. Okay. And I guess I've gotten so mad, Michelle. I tell you, I've gotten mad. Because now, I mean, I can look at my first memories of Africa with Tarzan.
Yeah, yes, everybody's. Because that's what they showed. That's what they depicted in Hollywood, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he's got everything under control. He's the king of the jungle.
Right.
And not just a visitor on a visa.
Right. You know, that's what they showed us. See, they didn't show us that, you know, the kings and queens, the tribes that they had in Africa, the different tribes, the different genres of it. You know, Hollywood showed us what they wanted us to know unless we were able to go and visit, see for ourselves.
Right. And how many people have gone to Africa? They're still not going. Because right. they have a misconception of what, you know, when I say Africa, I'm talking continent. But let's go to look at Ghana, beautiful country.
Yes.
Let's look at Sierra Leone. Even though they had 10 years of civil war.
Right.
Beautiful country. I wanted to retire there. I really wanted to retire there. The mountains, the ocean. I mean, just beautiful.
Right. You know, they had a movement, you know, it was called Back to Africa movement in the 1920s with Marcus Garvey. Mm-hmm. You know, he always argued that African Americans can only attain social equality by moving back to Africa. You know, so the continent as the only place where self-emancipation could be attained at that time for us back in the 20s. You know, and it was also a phrase that they will always use, go back to Africa. Like, you know, that seemed like, it's always like an insult to me. You know, how do you go back to somewhere where, you know, I was born naturally here, you know? I have, you know, 5 to 6 generations and more, you know, that I don't know of, you know, my family heritage for a continent that I have no connection with. You know, you've lived there, you've moved there, you've worked there. You know a lot about Africa. You know, I've never been there before, you know, only from what I see and read about and do my own research on Africa. You know, I would love to visit, but, you know, as far as moving there, you know, I haven't, you know, where do you start? You know, you have to do your history. It's like, you know, you have so many continents. How do you pick relocating to a continent, not a country, but just a continent? You know, going to Canada is right next door to us. You know, Africa's on the other side of the world. That's a big, big decision to make. You know, how do you choose to do that? How do you just wake up one morning and just say, you know, I want to live there? You have to do research on these places. You know, you have a lot of young people that move to Ghana, you know, which is a popular country to go to in that continent. Like you said, it has a lot of history there, you know, work experience as far as, you know, wealth is there. A lot of the countries are wealthy, you know, but every country has their slums just like here. You know, you have to, you know, do your research on where you want to live, what's going to be, you know, the best place for you and your family or just yourself if you're just going, you know. So, you know, it's just looking in the history, finding out why you want to go there, what opportunities you have there. Because if you move to another state here, you know, I know for a fact in North Carolina, when my girlfriend had moved out there, she started her own business. But because she wasn't born and raised there, local, you know, a local resident, just someone new to the area, they didn't patronize her. So can you imagine going to another continent, you know, trying to start new? How do you do that?
Well, I think that's, you know, to me, when I went, it was a byproduct of being, you know, attached to Sierra Leone, you know, through being married. And I saw an opportunity, you know, I had reached a point in my career, in my financial services career, that I just couldn't take it anymore. And this is the early 80s, you know, wherein, you know, I saw how we were being treated. You know, yeah. I saw the truth. The truth slapped me in the face, even though I knew it was there, but it slapped me in the face where, you know, when it impacts you, then you really, really feel it, right? So yeah, when I was skipped over, I just said, damn. You know, I accidentally came across an opportunity and, you know, I created a company and I used to trade. Right. Okay. And meaning, like I said earlier, I think I explained it to you, you know, foodstuffs for gold. All right. Right. And used to go up in the bush and then sleep in the hut. No electricity now. Wow. No electricity.
Yeah, I wouldn't survive.
All right. And no bathroom. Yeah, right. They had a community where you get holes in the ground.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I went in, I wasn't going in there. I used to, as long as I had my toilet paper, you know, I would find me a spot.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And take baths in a river. I was in a village where the women took their baths at 3 and the men took their baths at 4. This is in the river.
Right, right.
All right, so you go down to the river at 4. All right, you got your, you know, soap, you got your towel, you have your underwear, all right, a fresh set of underwear, and the underwear that you have on, you can jump in the river with that because you washed your underwear right in the river while you were taking a bath.
Right. So why do you think there's such a big deal now to move back to Africa? I mean, back in the 20s when Marcus Garvey was advocating for it, there was a reason for it. You know, because we were still enslaved mentally, you know, not physically, but there was a reason for people to want to go back to Africa back then. Now, why do you think people are feel such a strong urge to move to Africa now?
Well, I think that's hopelessness. That's hopelessness. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. During Marcus Garvey's time, it was the same thing. Right. But the way I see it is that we have too much invested. We are Americans. Anybody ask me, where are you from? I'm from North Carolina. Where are your roots?
Right.
North Carolina.
North Carolina, yes.
Okay. It's not Africa. Just by, you know, through DNA, you know, I'm African American.
Right.
But I am from the United States, America, U.S.
Right.
And nobody can tell me different than that. I'm invested here.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, I can see the, you know, college students when they go, some of them stay. One of my girlfriends, her daughter ended up meeting someone and getting married, having a child. But she was doing, you know how they do the religious and the medical fields where they go to help people, poor people, stuff like that. She ended up doing it and she ended up loving, falling in love with the country. And she ended up staying. But how often does that happen, you know?
A lot of times when people realize that, you know, they've been fed a story, for, you know, instead of saying lie, I'm just saying a story about what you see on TV and the media, you know, and what they push out there. I'm not saying there's no problems in certain countries there.
Right.
Okay. But I mean, it's the most beautiful place. I mean, the weather. Okay, I'll give you an example. In Sierra Leone, you know, where you got your blood diamonds, you know, it's the second largest producer of diamonds after South Africa, Sierra Leone.
Right.
All right. You got two seasons. You have the rainy season and you have the dry season.
Right.
So that's the easiest place to be a weatherman, because in the dry season, all you got to do is say, oh, it's going to be sunny today.
Right, right.
And the same applies to the rainy season.
Yeah, you know what to expect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just awesome. I mean, and then you have the Atlantic Ocean. Fortunately enough, you know, where I spent, I was on the West Coast, so I was right there on the Atlantic Ocean. Sierra Leone had some of the deepest ports in terms of, you know, ships coming in the world.
Right.
Ideal. Right. Okay, the water, blue. They have beaches that, I tell you, Michelle, that rivals any in the world. And I've been to a lot. I've been on 5 continents, so I know.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, it's just amazing place. But the Civil War, as I said, you know, we can't retire there, because one thing that they don't have, and this is you know, embarrassing, shameful. I don't know where to point the blame, but their medical facilities in some countries, not all.
Right.
And I'll pick Sierra Leone. You don't want to get sick over there.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Most people that can afford it, when they get sick, they go to London or to go to Brussels or something like that.
Right. And is it still that way now?
Really? I'm talking about now, same thing.
Wow. I mean, yeah, you're going to have your poor areas just like anywhere else.
Yeah, and these are your cities. I mean, this is a result of years and years, decades of corruption.
Right.
Okay. That's you know, if you want to blame some, you can blame corruption. It's not they have the resources. Mm-hmm. It's the misuse. Right. And now you got the Chinese over there.
Right. Yes, you do.
Why do you think the Chinese are there? The Chinese, they know.
Right. They know. It's profitable for them.
Right. They need the natural resources. So the Chinese are there. See, one thing is different about the Chinese versus some of the practices that other governments used to put in place. Mm-hmm. When I say other governments, I'm talking about the Europeans and the U.S. or whatever.
Right.
All right. They used to give out an IMF and the World Bank. All right. Mm-hmm. They used to fund projects over there. And those projects would be bridges, airports, etc., roads. Right. All right. And they would just give the money to the government. It's like, okay, go build a road. All right. And then the government, instead of it allocating the money to where it's supposed to go, they will pocket it. You know, that's why you had all these rich head of states and, you know, they got millions and millions in Switzerland and stuff like that. But the Chinese changed the playbook. Mm-hmm. All right. You heard recently about some airport, and I think it was in one of the African countries, where they had built an airport, and since the country couldn't afford to meet its debt obligations, they were going to take the airport. And this is the Chinese.
Right.
All right, you can't pay me. I funded this airport. I built this airport, rather. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take it.
Right. And yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's how they do, just like, you know, with the British colonies, you know, they come over there, they do something, they take over and they own it. You know, I mean, Africa is a huge place. It's the second largest continent in the world. So you have a lot to choose from. You know, you have East Africa, Northwest, Saharan, Sub-Saharan, Southern Africa, Central Africa. You know, Africa is huge. So, you know, if I decide I want to, because me and my husband talked about it, you know, a week ago, even before we decided to do the show, he was like, you know, being here is like, what do you have here? What do you, you know, you have no identity. You have no, you're not respected. You know, we've never been respected. We don't have equal rights. You know, the laws are not for us. You know, why are we wasting our time here? And I said, well, you know, you go to another continent that you don't know anything of. You just can't say, I want to move to Africa. You know, you have to have a plan.
Absolutely.
It takes, you know, years to figure things out. And to me, you need to visit, you know, and even if you visit, visiting is not the same as living. You know, you just really need to do your research. Like here in the States, you can, you know, Google an apartment anywhere in other states, especially in the South. You can get an apartment online. You can't, you know, you don't know what you're going to get in another country. You're moving completely out of a continent to go to another continent. That is a big move. You know, you really have to invest in researching exactly what you want, how you want to live. What are you going to do when you get there? You know, number one. And then you have to adapt to things, the laws, the government, you know, it's a whole list of things that you have to look into. So I've done my family tree, my family history. I stopped at the slave, great-great-great-grandfather slave, slave.
Me
and
too.
I just, you know, emotionally, I just didn't want to go any further. But, you know, we all know that, you know, was it Jamestown, Virginia is where it started, you know, slave trade. And even if I did find out, you know, then what? What do I do? Am I going to move back to Africa where I found my heritage? I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, there's a lot of other countries that are worse off than we are. So, you know, you still have your little civil wars and stuff like that. But, you know, would it be wise to move, to say, I'm getting out of here because I don't like it, you know, give up your citizenship, which I don't think people should do. I think you should do a dual citizenship. And, you know, see how they live for a couple of months. Because a lot of people go away. I know people that go teach English in China to see how that is. Just, you know, they get those free teaching jobs and, you know, they get paid to be there. All the expenses are paid, you know. But can you do that in Africa? You know, would that be an option for you to even, you know, like, let me do this on a temporary basis to see if I even like it? You know, because that's a huge move.
Yeah, I mean, I had help, you know what I'm saying? When I went there, I had, you know, people there that I knew that lived there. So they were able to show me the way, you know, until I got to a point where I was totally independent. I would go to other countries by myself. I went to Guinea, all right, which is next to Sierra Leone, a bordering country. Right. And that's the same place I met Stokely Carmichael. And so I went to Guinea, and I went because their purity of gold. Now, I'm talking alluvial mining, you know, gold from alluvial mining. All right, that means digging down X amount of feet or by the river. You dig in gravel, and then you put it through a sluice. You wash it because gold is heavy, so it would sink to the bottom. Right. All right. So when I went there, the Conakry, that's the capital of Guinea, I was fortunate enough to stay with the Talberts. I don't know whether you've heard of the Talberts, but their father was the president of Liberia. All right. And he was put there by the U.S. Okay. So he was backed by the U.S.
Right.
Okay. And he was killed during a coup by Sergeant Doe. They tried to kill the whole family.
Right.
But Robert and his brother, I can't recall his brother's name, they escaped to Guinea, and they were under the protection of, you know, they were granted asylum. All right. So I stayed with them. But from there, I had to go up country to the bush where, as I said, you always go to the source to get my gold so I could repatriate my money. And I saw places, Michelle, that you would not believe. I was on a bridge where, have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? Has anybody ever been to the Grand Canyon?
No.
Just visualize the Grand Canyon in the middle of nowhere. As far as that, you could see, it was just a valley. I mean, it was just, you know, if I was a photographer and took that, I mean, I could have been on National Geographic. You know, I mean, they got places in Africa that were just—it's just amazing.
Right.
I mean, this happened to be Guinea, and up country in Guinea. On the way back, I would always have a driver, and I
was
always
West Africa, right?
Yeah, Western Africa. I never been to East Africa. That's where you got Kenya and these other places.
Right.
All right, but anyway, the driver—I would always have a guide, someone that spoke the language. All right, and dialects, because you have a lot of different tribes there, okay? And they all spoke what we call Creole, which is a mixture of English and the African dialect, okay? So everybody spoke that.
Okay.
All right. So on the way back, after I, you know, gathered enough gold to satisfy my needs, on the way back, it was night. We were driving, and some people along the road were yelling and screaming and running up and down. So we pulled over. I had a driver pull over, and someone got bit by a cobra.
Wow.
So I'm standing out there. Okay, so I tell the driver, I said, well, is there any infirmaries? And they said, yes, there's one close. My guide told me, do not get into the car with this guy that got bit by the snake, because someone could have put the snake on that person.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. So what I did was I let my driver take the guy to the infirmary, and my guide and I, we waited on the side of the road until he came back.
That's something.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement over there, but I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean, the adventures of being able to look back at that and say that people put snakes on people, they take cobras and they put them on people.
Right.
I really would freak out. Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, you know? But I really don't believe that was the case. But then again, who am I, you know? You can walk on snakes. You know, that's how most people get bit by snakes. They walk on.
Yeah. That's crazy, though. I mean, I think, you know, if I had the opportunity to visit Africa, you know, I want to see Egypt, Morocco, like East Africa. I'm not too sure because you got Rwanda, Sudan,
got Kenya.
You know, I'm scared of those areas, like from, you know, history speaking wise. But, you know, Tanzania, you know, might be somewhere I would go, but definitely not Uganda.
What about South Africa?
South Africa, yeah, I wouldn't mind going like Swaziland, maybe. I've always fascinated about going there.
Okay.
Mozambique, is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, Mozambique, yes.
Yes, so, you know, I always did want to see Somalia. Those people, like, you know, it's so strange because they all look alike, exactly alike. Like, you can't tell the difference between the people. You know what I mean? Like, they all have that same look. They have, no, they do. Yeah. They have the same features, like the forehead, everything. So I'm like, damn, everybody's like related. Nobody looks different there, but they're beautiful people. Beautiful people. So I would definitely wouldn't mind visiting Somalia. Yeah. But North Africa is more of where I would like to be because of the history in Egypt and Moroccan people.
So, Morocco. Yeah. I was in Casablanca a couple of times, you know, just overnight in transit. Okay. Now, no business, but just overnight, you know, waiting for the plane the next day because I would fly out of Kennedy into London, Paris, or Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. I had different routes depending on, you know, with how I felt.
Right.
You know, just to break the monotony. And I just said, okay, I'll take the next flight out. I had to change planes in Casablanca and stayed overnight.
Right.
And that was a lot of fun, you know.
You said you went in Nigeria too once?
Yeah, I was in Nigeria, and that was when I left Guinea. I was supposed to go back to Sierra Leone and get my flight from Sierra Leone, but I changed my ticket to leave from Guinea back to London, and then London back to New York.
Yeah. Another fantasy trip would be Madagascar for me.
Yeah, that's an island. That's an island off the coast of West Africa.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or East Africa, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, I miss going to Africa, but you know, that with Sierra Leone and Guinea, and I mean Liberia. I was in Liberia when they had a Citibank.
Oh, wow! Yeah,
I used to go and I used to go to Citibank to get dollars.
Yeah, wow.
Because you know you could do more trading with the U.S. dollar in terms of purchasing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now, I can give you an example. When I first went to Sierra Leone, they have what they call the Leon. That was the currency, all right? They call it the Leon. And when I first went there, there were like three Leons to $1. You know how much it is now?
What?
Oh, like 2,500 Leons to $1.
To $1? Wow.
Right.
Yes, you're rich.
Yeah. No, you'd be poor. Can you imagine? I mean, it used to be like 2 leons to a dollar.
God.
Oh. I'm talking black market because you have to be Oh, yes, a lot of countries. Okay, even in South America, you got black market. Okay, so, you know, you go to the black market, you don't, you wouldn't go to the official, you know, foreign currency window and give them $10 and they give you 20 or 25 leones. Yeah. When you can get 1,200 or 1,500 leones if you go to the black market to your $1.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, so I mean, you gotta understand it. And I was fortunate, like I said, to know people, that taught me. And once I knew, then I moved independently.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's you know, it's a lot of people there too. You know, if you decide that you want to move there, you know, their population is huge. Huge. So what kind of impact would, you know, I give moving there with all of those people? You know, they have like 170 million people that live in Africa.
Well, I mean, no, you got more than that. Nigeria alone is around, you got 100 million in Nigeria.
Ugh.
And now, I mean, yeah, just, wow. You know, as Gene would say, fact check that, but it's close to that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. True. Okay. True. Wow.
We're talking the continent, so you're talking a lot.
Right, right. Lot, yeah, second lot. Largest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So, wow. I mean, to circle back to, you know, what the show is about today, mm-hmm. is, I wish we could take a poll. I didn't prep it, but I would like to know from the chat box, how many people would be willing to go to Ghana or any other country that you choose, and leave the U.S. because of all the nonsense that's going on that we go through here.
Yeah, let's take a poll. All right.
Let's take some in the chat box. Y'all guys, put a thumbs up if you want to go, thumbs down if you want to stay here.
Right. Or if you're from Africa or visited there as well, I'd like to know that too. How many?
And if it doesn't apply, just put N-A.
Right. Yeah, Africa but is sparsely populated considering how huge the continent is. Yes, Marge, that's for sure.
All right, okay, guys, please participate in the poll if you feel like it. All right, what did I say? Thumbs up if you want to go.
Up. Thumbs nope, down Deanne, if you want to stay. Deanne, Mandy's in. Like, nope. I'm with you, Dave, man.
But that'll do.
Yeah, I'm with you. We're taking a poll now. People that would like to, you know, live in Africa, stay here, or thumbs up, thumbs down.
All right. You know, thumbs up if you want to return to the continent. Thumbs down if you want to stay.
Mm.
And if it's not applicable to you,
it's all good.
Just put N-A.
I wouldn't want to return. I can't return someplace I've never been. That's just how I feel. You know, it would be like a total big, just like I'm just leaving my home, which is here, to move to Africa. But I, like I said, I had, you know, no desire. I have a desire to visit, but not to live there.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the tourism.
Yeah, tourism.
We should visit, yeah. You know, we should visit, because I never get my first time going, visiting Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It was a emotional experience when the plane made a left and was flying down the coast of the Atlantic Ocean.
Mm.
Okay, so the land was on the left and the Atlantic Ocean on the right. So we're going straight south.
Right.
Okay, and to be flying over this lush Greenland, you know, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I felt it. I said, this is where my people came from at that time. And it would happen to anybody. You know, I mean, any African-American that goes to Africa for the first time is going to feel something.
Yeah, of course, it'll be an emotional thing. The Amanda just says she admires people who go to live there. She said also she would be afraid of being kidnapped for being an American, like... She said she would just visit. Yeah, that's another thing for me too, a fear of being kidnapped. Yeah.
Well, you got to know him. Even Mexico, yeah. I worked in Mexico, and the same thing. Mm-hmm. They kidnap you in Mexico.
Yeah, but you know, it's like going to a foreign country, and you don't know anybody. Like you said, you know, while you were there for your time of working and stuff, you knew people. Like, you know, I wouldn't go. I know no one in Africa, not a soul.
Right. So you would need to know someone, or you could go to a place like Abidjan.
Actually, that's not true. I know someone that lives in Egypt. So her family is still there, but she's here. Yeah, she's my cousin's wife. She's here. She goes home. Her whole entire family is there. But she lives here with my cousin. They're Muslim. And she goes home, you know, a few times a year to visit her family. And she misses it. You know, it's totally, you know, it's a different element for her. You know, she's still not used to it. And she's been here for, you know, quite a long time. But yeah, I would visit Egypt. And she's in I forget what part of Egypt she's in, but from what I know, she's in a well-known place.
Okay.
A beautiful home.
Yeah, I've always wanted to see the pyramids.
Yeah. Right, right. Those are the things I would like to do, yes. Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
You wouldn't want to sleep in the hut?
No, hell no. I'm not a camper. I need a bathroom, flushing toilet, running water. Like, I'm not.
You gotta choose wisely what country you
right,
go to.
Right, right. Dear Manny said, even in Mexico, she goes to the closed resorts. That's right. I do too. Like, yeah. I'm not, I'll go out and tour and stuff like that. And, you know, I like to see how people live. But, you know, I'm still, like, skeptical if I'm gonna, you know, somebody's gonna try to do something to me. Yeah, foreigners think all Americans are rich. That is true. You know what? It's not just foreigners. People down south. When I visit people down south, they think we have money from New York. Everybody think New Yorkers are rich. So, yeah, it's all over. Man, Americans are not rich. You know, we are survivors just like everybody else.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you go to Sierra Leone, if you're going to a certain, let's say you were born over here and you came over here to go to school and then you stayed to work. When you visit, you know, if you go back to visit your family in Africa, they are expecting, you know, you to bring stuff.
Right, right, right.
You know, spend
you can't
money.
Go without,
you know what I mean?
You can't go without
bringing
stuff.
Yeah, you can't go empty handed, man. You got to be spending some money.
You better be spending some money, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah. You better. There's no, like, even when I go down south, it's like they're looking like, what'd you bring me? You act like I left the country and, you know, bringing back souvenirs or something. What am I bringing back from New York?
Well, you in New York. You know, you live in New York. That's a different thing.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Quality of products are different here. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's true. That is very true. But so under the position of the TWW, the Walt Weekly, is that, if there's investment opportunities,
yes,
good idea. If you want to go as a tourist, good idea.
Right.
If you want to go to explore and do things you've never done, good idea.
Right.
But to go, and I can't tell, you know, you're going to do what you want to, you know. There's always some hard hits. But you may be successful. But if you want to go there and live and give up your U.S. citizenship.
Yeah.
I don't agree with. I think that you know your investment, you're vested in this country. You're a citizen of the U.S. You were born here, and your ancestors' blood running in the soil of this country. Okay. So with that said, I'm gonna turn it over to Michelle. And we had some other things that we wanted to talk about too.
Yeah.
And like the website, upcoming guests. We got
tell us
Black
about
History
our
Month coming
upcoming
up.
Guests next weekend, next Friday. We have a Walter. You can announce who she is.
Yes, Hawa Allen. All right, and you can talk to her. Her parents are from Africa. She was born in this country. I think she's first generation. But she's a lawyer, and she's an author. A book was just published, and the title of the book is Insurrection. So we will have Hawa Allen on the show next week to talk about that.
Yes, and then the following week we start Black History Month. So we're going to have some awesome topics to talk about. Some great guests coming in next month.
Yeah, we're going to have some folks from North Carolina coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some successful people. Yeah.
Right, we're going to have some great shows. And then we have, following that, Women's History Month. So this first quarter is going to be really great for the World
Yeah, Women's yeah, shows. Yeah. It's going to be
sure
really great.
Make sure you guys tune in every Friday night. And we also will have an alternate day that we will be hosting shows, and we will announce that as well in the upcoming
Oh yeah, shows. Yeah, guys, look out for that. Yeah, that's very important. We're going to be running two shows a week, one on Friday and one on Monday, which is is, you know, to be determined. All right, we're going to be meeting on it on next week on the team.
Yes. But we want to get running, a poll of your show. What day you prefer? Yeah, cuz Friday nights is tough for people. So we'll do a poll as well. We'll do an audience poll and see if our followers, you know, what they all think.
And we're going to do that on Facebook, Michelle? What was
it? Yeah, we can do it on all our social media pages, you know, to give people a heads up and get a poll, see what's happening. But if you love us on Friday night, we will stay on Friday nights, but we're going to try Mondays as well. So I'm looking forward to doing that. So look out for that, folks. And please continue to follow us, like and share our podcast on Instagram and Facebook at The Walt Weekly. You can also, our website is being updated, but it is completed. We're just going to do a face change on it. So you can follow us there at thewaltweekly.com, and you can see all of our previous shows on there, past shows. We also have a blog, and we would love for you guys to go to our website and sign up for our newsletter and our mailing list that we have. We would appreciate you guys doing that and follow us. That's www.thewaltweekly.com. And please sign up to receive updates from The Walt Weekly on upcoming shows and our blog, our weekly blog that is hosted by Walter Latham Sr. He does a blog every week on his perspective of what's going on during that week with Walter. So we hope you guys will do that. Yes, yes. And we'll keep you posted. Also, you know, follow our, you know, everyone that we've had podcasts on. We have some tremendous shows. I mean, they were outstanding shows. And please just go back on there to, you know, to listen to our shows. We are at, what, 130-something now shows that we have?
We've been today is 126.
126. Awesome. So, you know, you're talking 3 years of topics, 3 years of shows that, you know, you all may not have listened to. So you can go back and listen to some of our old podcasts, and we're on all streaming platforms, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio. I mean, I was on in my salon on my Roku TV, and I was able to pull up iHeartRadio and just let my clients listen to some past shows on there. So, you know, that was exciting for me to hear myself back on from the TV. So, you know, we're on all streaming platforms. So
yeah, even Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon as well. Amazon. Yes, yeah. Yes. So, you know, we have our weekly panel members that will be joining us on a lot of the shows. Some coming back, some popping in and out. You know, so but we appreciate all of our audience members joining us every week. So we hope you continue to listen to The Walt Weekly. You know, you guys have an awesome weekend. Thank you guys so much.
And follow Facebook.
Follow.
Yes.
Be safe. Stay well.
Have a nice weekend.
Have a fantastic weekend. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Cheers.